Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
It's not just college football tomorrow. They actually have a marquee boxing match as well. Canelo Alvarez trying to get back on the winning track after being thoroughly outboxed by Bivol in his last fight. He took a massive risk, climbing weight classes to get to that point. I thought it was a great, valiant effort by Canelo. He was just a tad bit out of his element. Returning to 168 tomorrow to take on Triple G, which will most certainly be the final chapter, what now becomes a trilogy tomorrow night. So we're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about the idea of Spence and Crawford finally getting a deal done. It seemed like there was some progress yesterday, but I'm still not quite sold that it gets done. We'll talk about that and more. Joining us right now over the phone, we have Tony Whitby, our boxing insider. Tony, great to get you back on today.
Yep, always great to be here, JB.
Like I said a moment ago, can't believe it's been 4 years since these two went toe-to-toe a second time. It's been 5 years since that first fight. But here we are now, Tony, gearing up for part three on Saturday night. And basically, when I take a look at this fight, yes, it's compelling. It's Canelo. It's Triple G. We're talking about two of the biggest names in the sport. But I also believe, perhaps, we waited too long for part three if we were ever going to get it. And I think that my interest in this fight has dimmed a little bit based on where it was 3-4 years ago. I'm curious as to your thoughts. Here we are 4 years later.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It doesn't feel like 4 years, but at the same time, it does feel like 4 years because of what has happened since then in the last 4 years for both of these fighters. It does feel like Triple G's career has taken a backseat since the last time that they fought, and Canelo's been, you know, the cream of the crop and kind of the straw that stirs the drink, in a sense. And then with the recent loss, it's kind of piqued some people's interest more so into this fight than it has been in a long time. At the end of the day, I think this is the conclusion. That should be the fight name. This is it. This is the conclusion. I find it hard to believe that we would see a fourth fight. And we're finally getting something that should have happened, you know, arguably 3 years ago.
The only way we get a fourth fight is if Canelo gets knocked out. That's the only way we get a fourth fight. I don't believe that's going to happen. And I want to talk about the logistics of this fight, because this is where boxing is so different than UFC. And this is where UFC gets it right. We get the best fights at the best weight. And when I look at Canelo and Triple G on Saturday night, we're not A, getting the best version of Triple G, who is now 40 years old, and B, we're not getting Triple G at his best weight, as this is now going up to 168, where Canelo was most comfortable, and we all know that Triple G is most comfortable at 160. Is that a problem for me? No, because I think the casual, the fringe fans, you don't really care about that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, it makes a world of a difference. And Triple G has already been on record of saying, no, I feel better at 160. That's why I don't think we see a knockout. That's why I think that the time fits for Canelo, who is one of the greatest fighters in the world. He's only 32 years old. But now we have an older Triple G at a weight 8 pounds more than where he's comfortable at.
Yeah, it's hard for me to kind of angle it from the UFC perspective. I do believe that they do get it right from that standpoint of saying they, you know, the best fight win the best fight, and it's designed that way. Boxing's different, where it's more about, you know, getting the most amount of money out of each fighter and presenting them with the largest paydays. What I would also say to that, and it's maybe me more sticking up for the fight of the sport of boxing, is the storylines typically only get better, or they never really age, in a sense where, you know, you see two fighters and it was entertaining, you're going to want to see that fight again and again and again, no matter how old they get. And so things of that nature still make this fight compelling in there. The difference between the fundamental difference between this fight now versus the first two previous fights is, I don't think there's any boxing pundits that are truthfully being honest with themselves and actually picking Triple G to win this fight. And that's a telling sign of either one. We see one of the greatest upsets, and I'm not saying from a betting odds standpoint, we see something magical happen, or we just see exactly what we expect to see.
Yeah, you know, in terms of the way things should play out, I think most of the time you can look at a fight on paper. You can take your heart out of it. You can use your head. You can look at the logistics of a fight. And I think more times than not, you will be correct in how that fight is going to play out. The thing is, in the sport of boxing, we fall in love with individuals so much, sometimes it's hard to remove our heart from the equation. I can fully do this in this fight. I know right now the betting odds have Triple G at like plus 400. Yeah, that looks very enticing because it's Triple G. But look, based off of the way things went for Canelo, when he took a risky fight against Bivol and he really was outboxed in that fight for 10 out of the 12 rounds, when you take a look at the way that fight went down, there's nothing, Tony, that tells me Canelo is going to lose this fight on Saturday night. It also seems like it was the perfect fight for Canelo to bounce back from a loss with. A, name recognition. B, we can fall back on the previous two fights that were very, very entertaining. It's a win-win for Canelo in this sense.
Yeah, I mean, Bivol would have to change his name to Triple G and actually step in the ring on Saturday night in order for Triple G to win this fight. So, I don't know. That may be a little too harsh. If I'm really trying to be the guy of figuring out the lanes that Triple G would need to do to win this fight, it's one, be at your best peak performance at your age, which is already hard enough to do, especially when he's against the weight that he is. Two, really look at the tape of not only just that Bivol fight and see the holes in Canelo's game, but three, look at the previous two fights and what he didn't do right throughout those two fights, the body shots, the lack of punching, so on and so forth, and really just go out there and do something it's hard enough to do that as it is with any fight right now, let alone one of the best, you know, top five fighters or top 10 fighters in the sport today. So there's just so much, you know, variables against Triple G that it's hard to say that he's going to win the fight. Now, with that being said, again, I still want to watch the fight. I do. I want to see these guys fight. I'm going to watch, you know, the next Avengers movie. I'm going to see the next Canelo Triple G fight. It's a part of, you know, how I'm built and designed. So I think it's going to be entertaining to watch. I don't know, you know, many times we talk about, is a fight worth, you know, paying for in a pay-per-view? Or is this something that you collectively chip in with a bunch of friends? This is definitely a chip-in fight at the cost of this pay-per-view. I would not recommend anyone individually on their own accord go out and purchase this fight directly. I would say have a pay-per-view party, have somebody bring some foods, and have some people, you know, chip in for this fight if you're going to be watching on Saturday night.
Again, our guest right now, Tony Whitby, as we talk about Canelo Triple G Part 3. Aside from that, Tony, the last time we had you on, we were on the brink of hearing the announcement of Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. And I know both of us were extremely excited. Both of us talked about the breakdown of this fight. We talked about where Errol Spence was and where he's at now after surviving really a life-threatening car crash. We talked about Bud Crawford and just how dominant this guy has been. Here we are now, September, middle of September, and still no official fight announcement, which leads me to believe that we're not going to get this fight anytime soon. And there is a reason, there's all kinds of reasons for it. But I want to take this angle on it. One of the things that the sport of boxing does very well, it knows how to divide its viewership into picking a side, right? I mean, go back. Let's go back over the course of 25 years. Is there a better sport that angles fans to pick a side and stick to a side through thick and thin? I don't think there is.
Yeah, I mean, and whether it's a nationalistic thing, whether it's a boxing style thing, you bring up a really good point. And sometimes it's just fight camps, sometimes it's promotional camps that really divide how we see the sport. We can talk off there. There's times when I had a boxing podcast, and my reasons, I stepped down from doing it because I didn't want to just speak negatively all the time about certain promoters or certain outfits and how things were being designed. And so what you said is 100% right. And I think we do fall into those traps as humans and picking sides at some point without staying open to it. This fight, the last time we spoke about it too, I said be wary about this, that it, you know, you, even all signs are pointing to yes. There's certain indicators in my world that if certain people aren't green lighting it, and if I'm not hearing it from certain people that are batting 1,000, then everything at that point is just hearsay until they kind of cement it. And I remember telling you, like, hey, if this person's not saying it's not happening, then it's not happening until then. And the other thing, too, is, PBC fights tend to do this a lot, too, where they will announce it really, really in a short time. So it's still possible that we get an announcement in the coming weeks. But if I had my magic 8-ball, I would say, outlook not so good.
Tony, before I let you go, we have to jump back over to Canelo Triple G once again because we didn't go over predictions. Does this go the distance? And if so, how does Canelo get it done? I'm not even going to ask you who to pick because I know who you're picking. How does Canelo get this done and what type of fashion on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think Canelo actually wins a solid or a hard 8-4, maybe even a 9-3. That's definitely the most lenient or the most wide I've actually scored a Canelo or predicted a Canelo in Triple G fight. But there's nothing from Triple G that leads me to believe that he has any more in the tank than winning 3 or 4 rounds, handsomely or decisively this Saturday night.
Does he touch the canvas at any point in time?
Yeah, it's quite possible. If I was going to get real crazy about it, I would say there'd be a knockdown in round 8, and then gets up, I would say even towards the end of the round. Canelo takes that break in round 9, and that's where actually Triple G gets a round in his belt, and it's more of a recovery type scenario where Triple G is just tired from gassed out. But yeah, that's really getting me into the weeds on that. But yeah, I think there's at least one knockdown in this fight. Arguably there could be another one, but it's going to be deemed a slip. I think there's at least one knockdown.
Tony Whitby, again, our boxing insider. Tony, it's always great to get you on. I know we got plenty more to talk about in the very near future, but thank you again for taking out the time to talk Canelo Triple G. Enjoy the fight Saturday night.
Yep, can't wait to do it again.
It's Tony Whitby again, our boxing insider, talking some Triple G and Canelo tomorrow night in Vegas. And then, of course, we have the potential Spence Crawford fight, which I'm really crossing my fingers that we get. A lot more coming up here on Drive Time Sports as we continue to inch closer to the weekend. We'll talk NFL football. Chargers falling to the Chiefs last night in a game that they absolutely should have won. Who's at fault for this one? The refs? Nah. Brandon Staley? Meh. Arrowhead? Meh. We'll talk NFL football when we return right after this.